house. We've been struggling to get the full group chat out here. And look who's back, Anthony Obas on the show. Windows A's here after a big Yankees trade. And Dan's here after a Knicks loss in the in-season tournament. But he's excited about Verdugo, too. I don't think we're going to talk Verdugo today, but this tournament rolling along. I should be in Vegas right now, but I'm not because of this loss that the Celtics suffered last night to this Pacers team that's on the come up. And Obas, I feel like you've liked the Pacers, you know, the last couple of years here, competing, fighting. But now this team looks like they're actually pretty good here with Haliburton and Miles Turner, who they've kept along for the ride, and Buddy Hield, who hit the big shot late. They've built from the middle. They didn't have to tank. They didn't have to go for a premium draft pick. They didn't bring in a big prospect. They've done it a different way here, and this team looks pretty dynamic. I don't know how far they can go this year because they can't guard anybody, but that was impressive what they did against the Celtics last night.
I mean, good coaching.
You like Carlisle?
They have good coaching, good spacing. They got Bruce Brown. I mean, Bruce Brown got 30 points the other game before the Celtics. Like, they're a good team. Like, I don't know why people don't expect that team to be a good team. You know, like, they, you know, Allenberg's playing his ass off right now. Like, he's going to be a generational point guard. Like, motherfuckers think that's crazy, but that kid is good. That kid is fucking good.
You say in generation. So, Linda, you came into this year saying they better be good because there's so much hype around them, so much hype around Haliburton. They were a darling team coming into this year. But you had to see it. Are you buying it now, 20-ish games in here?
Hell no. I'd first like to say what up to Mike Muscala in the chat, Moose31. No, I mean, you know I don't like the early predictions. We're 20 games in.
That's right.
It's good to see Haliburton actually play this well, but we can't ignore that they're a disastrous defense. And when it comes time to, like, really buckle down, you're not going to be scoring 130, 140 every night. Definitely not in the playoffs. So they're doing
even in today's league.
Like, even in today's league. I mean, we watched the playoffs last year. Defense comes into play, but
yeah.
What I do think is really cool is that, you know, Haliburton is really showing out, and you were big on him last year. And I was kind of like, you know, he's there's a lot of people that are entertainers, and I think that that's what the Pacers are really emphasizing. I feel like we forget so often why professional sports exist at all in society. People just assume it exists to exist, but professional sports are there to entertain. That's why they get paid millions of dollars. They're entertainers. And right now, Haliburton and the Pacers are definitely entertaining.
Where do you have them in the East right now, Dan?
I got them, again, at the start of the season, I said the Knicks will end up in the top three. I didn't factor the Pacers into that equation, I'll be honest. But honestly, I didn't think the Pacers were that hyped coming into the year. And you look at the Kings last year, their sort of meteoric rise through the standings and going into the playoffs with all that hype. I feel like we're seeing something similar with the Pacers. Again, it's early to tell, but I still don't have them in the top three at the end of the season. I could see them sneaking in, being a 4-5, or even dropping down, you know, when some of these players come back down to earth. I think Haliburton's great, but can he carry his team for the duration of the season? I've been big on Miles Turner. I've wanted him on the Knicks for every time. And I say he's a great player, great defender, but can he stay healthy? There's a lot of factors that, you know, without really seeing them for that long, we're not even at the halfway point yet to say that they're a top three team. And I still think the Knicks will turn around. Today was a disappointing loss in the IST, but hey, you know, we're battling. The Pacers are battling. And I think one thing that's promising about the Pacers is their youth. So even if it's not for this year, that's going to be a team to watch in the East, definitely for years to come.
They do have some good prospects coming up, too. Andrew Nembhard, mm-hmm. I really like. You got Mathurin, who was a six-man candidate last year. Naismith. The guy the Celtics let go of, Bess.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do about that? I'm not a Celtics fan. It's y'all problem. Get your bench together. Y'all rotation. Y'all don't have a rotation identity. Get it together. And then where the fuck was Jason Tatum? This is the problem. Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter, where the fuck was he? Give me answers.
He and Brown weren't good enough in that game. And this is another example of a crunch time where the offense just looked dysfunctional. And they don't have Porzingis right now. That's the big difference. Like, that's who they need to be a different team.
I'll point out, which with all the hype with Kristaps, I sat back and I said, let me sit back and observe this man be healthy for a full season. And here we are. I know he'll be back soon.
And when we mentioned the amount of games played year by year, we got to last season, and what was he at, like 60 or something? 65. Bobby goes, well, 60 sounds good. Yeah, well, how does 45 sound?
He's not and going again, down I to 45.
As a Knicks fan, I don't have any beef with Kristaps.
I have a lot of beef with Kristaps.
I personally just don't see it happening for a full season. And again, in the playoffs, crunch time, when it matters, not garbage minutes on the Wizards, what's he going to do? But I'll agree with you, Bobby, with Kristaps in that team, on that team, I think that game may go differently. But a series would definitely go differently against the Pacers with Kristaps there.
Well, that's my thing. I don't think the Pacers are built to win a playoff series yet. So this doesn't concern me from a fact of, the Pacers could beat the Celtics here. Other teams could beat the Celtics. But in any given game, if it's close late, if they really have to make play after play and go toe-to-toe with a great offense, this can be what it looks like here, especially when they're not hitting their threes. So you need Porzingis out there for those inside shots. Now, Obas, he went there in MSG and got some revenge against his old team. He's playing great, racking up free throws, one of the best post scorers to start this year. So he is a difference for this team. They didn't have a guy like this when they had Rob Williams, when they had Al Horford. And Horford's still great, but it's more defense he's bringing you than offense at this point.
Yeah, but then you also have Jrue Holiday, who's actually a good facilitator, right? I don't think you're giving a lot of credit to Kristaps, who's someone who's always been a nut for the ball, right? Like, he's now the third option now. Like, when he was on the Knicks with Melo, he wanted the ball. Yeah, I'm going to bring it back to the Knicks. When he was on Dallas, he wanted the ball. Now in the Wizards, he learned how to calm down. Kristaps can't stay healthy. Now he's on the Celtics. He's humbled in his role, right? But it's like, the kid is just like, now you got an inside-outside game. Congratulations. Whoopty.
What do you think of the coach?
Who?
Missoula.
I don't got no beef with the guy. I thought about firing him last year. I got no beef with the guy. I ain't my coach. I ain't got beef with him.
I think he's done fine this year. So he's low on the list of concerns here. Like you said, it's Tatum turning the ball over, disappearing in the fourth quarter. Brown, the turnovers are still a concern there. And this team's defense has been fine. I don't think defense was the problem in this game. It's that offensive consistency late in the game. And they haven't passed the ball great either. You look at only 27 assists there. That number's going to go up. It's pretty much where they've been the whole year. And 18 turnovers. Great. Way too many. Are you getting concerned about them a little bit, Lindo? Because the expectation's championship.
I love how clear – well, the expectation has been championship. They've just been right. Many years.
Talk that shit.
But I love how obvious individual mistakes by players falls on the coach. And the end product is the coach's responsibility. But if a guy's not shooting well, I mean, you can't just say, we're just –
you know what they say, Lindo? Call timeout.
That makes no sense.
That's what they say.
Okay. So when you get out of that timeout and Tatum's still missing, do you just say, okay, get him on the bench. We'll sub him out.
Best example
he's
of this?
He's got to perform.
The Mavericks went on a 30-0 run against the Thunder the other night, and the Thunder called three timeouts, and didn't stop the run. It just kept going,
and they lost.
And then they did lose, but
so am I afraid of them from the Lakers' point of view? They figure out a way to collapse at the end of every playoff series that ends the season, and. Hopefully it'll just be them facing Jimmy Butler once more. This is the rubber match. This is for all the marbles.
The Heat do look good.
I think from a coaching perspective, though, I know last year Missoula got a lot of flack, but you're 15-5 right now. I know that was a bad loss against a team you probably felt you had no business really losing to. But, I mean, you're going 15-5. You have Kristaps in and out of the lineup. And not just that, all these new pieces, whether it's Jrue Holiday, losing Marcus Smart, you're really trying to reintegrate the lineup, reintegrate guys like Peyton Pritchard. And I think he's done a good job. You can't really be mad at 15-5 with all these new pieces, not even gelling yet. I remember that game one against the Knicks. It was clear one team had all the chemistry and one team didn't, and you guys still pulled it off, and you've been doing that all year. So I think that's on the coaching staff, and I think it only gets better from here. So to the Missoula haters, I think it's a wait and see. He has all the pieces now, where I think if it doesn't come together this year, then there's some questions to be asked, but he has the roster right now.
Yeah, it's just about the big spots, the big positions, the late game execution there. And they've been decent at it up until this point, which is another step in the right direction for them. So, like you said, you wait and see. Their schedule coming up is New York, of course, on Friday after the Knicks lost tonight. So they're going to play for a fifth time. Cavs miniseries, as well as a Magic miniseries, which I'm excited for. You're worried about the bench, Obas. You don't think they have enough off the bench?
I don't know the rotation. I don't know what the rotation is.
You got Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, Luke Kornet.
Yeah, that's not enough.
And Horford, I guess, too.
Yeah, that's not enough, man. It's not a solid. You don't got like a Jordan Poole. You need a Jordan Poole off the bench.
You think they should go get Jordan Poole?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying
$30 million player on the bench.
Listen, let me tell you something. Hold on. Time out. That's what you got to call when you about to run your mouth. Time out. So listen to this. Listen, when the Celtics need a scorer off the bench, who is going to be that person? Who's going to be that person?
Right now it's Hauser. But you're talking like a guy who can dribble and create his own shot.
Is it Pritchard?
No.
Well, like, Poole has created a lot of shots.
See, you start talking about Jordan Poole and now he's gone. I do think it's concerning that Hauser is that guy. But between Hauser, I feel like the bench situation is a little overrated as of right now. It could become a problem with health situations. But you got guys like Derek White stepping up, Hauser stepping up. Like even your starters, they're playing a good amount of minutes. But I don't feel like, at least how Missoula's managed the rotation, it's felt like there was this big lull when Tatum and Brown went out. It felt like he staggered the minutes well. And I feel like when you play against a team like the Pacers, that's when you're going to feel it. When you play against a team like the Knicks, you're going to feel it. When you play against a team like even the Magic, who are super deep, that's when you start to feel that. And I feel like they've gotten by right now, but that's definitely something to keep an eye out coming, you know, later in the season when fatigue sets in and, you know, players get injured, which is inevitable. So I think that's something to keep an eye on.
And they brought in a lot of guys who haven't panned out consistently. Like Nemeas Kade, I like. He's got three games played essentially here. O'Shea Brissett got a really good opportunity early. And right now he's shooting 17% from the field and 11% from three. That's not going to do it. Delano Banton doesn't shoot the ball well enough, I don't think, to play. Pritchard, not shooting well enough this year. It's tough. If you're not going to shoot and you're coming off the bench on this team, it's tough to fit in. That's why they're not playing Lamar Stevens right now either. So they got to find somebody. I've heard John Conchar rumored.
I have someone. Is it J.D. Davidson, Bobby?
Should they give J.D. Davidson a chance?
Maybe he's the guy.
He's going off. No, Jordan Walsh is the one I'm interested in, though, the rookie.
That's true. I totally forgot about him.
Maybe he figures it out midway through the year. Because honestly, if no one else is shooting the ball among all the wings I mentioned, he can't be that much worse than those guys. He fouls.
You think he's a tough player just because he's bald?
No, he's tough because he's got like 7'3" wingspan, which is crazy at that wing spot. So I don't know. He needs some more time in Maine. I got to get up to Maine too. So I'll probably go to Maine instead of Vegas now that I'm here in Boston. Let's talk about your Knicks, Dan, who just lost pretty bad right after FanDuel. FanDuel.com/Boston. $150 in bonus bets right now when you win a $5 money line bet. Do you have a football bet for the weekend, Obas?
I got the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh. That's the best strategy for this offer right now. Pick the team that's playing the Pats, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel.com/Boston. Of course, 21 plus present in Mass, 7 days of non-withdrawable bonus bets. They expire in 7 days. Head to sportsbook.fanduel.com for that offer. We're going to talk NFL in a minute, though, Boss, but man, do my Pats look bad. And they have a backup in right now to join the trend in the league right now. I'll give the tease. Maybe this will get the people going. We're going to rank backup quarterbacks across the league right now. We're going to come up with a top 10, which we've been trying to do for a minute here. But first, Dan's Knicks. I like the Knicks tonight, Dan, but they went down hard in that third quarter. This was a close game for a half, and they just got blown away in that third. I think they gave up close to 40 points. Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Lillard, all those guys on the Bucks side just figured it out tonight because they've had some bad games defensively. They've lost to some shaky teams like Portland and Chicago, and they looked like the best version of themselves in this game.
Yeah, it's definitely impressive. Knicks coming in third best defense in the league. And one thing about us, despite having a good defense, we're known for third quarter collapses. And this goes back to, and everyone gives me hate, Thibs is not the answer. And it always seems like in big games against big time teams, against quality coaching, we come out in third quarters and it's like there's no adjustments made, or we just come out with no type of strategy for how we're going to win.
This is how it goes, Lindo. The other team, it's not the coach, but my team, it's the coach.
I mean, how could we
consistently... How did he coach against the Cavs last year?
He coached all right. I will say we kind of came out guns blazing and kind of shot them out the building for a lot of those games. But that wasn't really a team that I thought we would have lost to. But against the Heat and against Spoelstra, he was definitely outcoached. And I feel like I've seen that enough times where I know in a tight playoff series, whether it's the Celtics, the Heat, the Bucks, I'm not confident in his late game adjustments. I'm not confident in any in-game adjustments. And even managing his rotation, which we don't have
a
big rotation, he doesn't really manage it very well. And today, I will say, quickly got his minutes. He wasn't hitting shots, missed a lot of open shots. But, I mean, there's just no excuse to lose like this.
So I love this guy. I love Quentin Grimes to death. But 0 points tonight doesn't fit into the offense, and this isn't a great offense. I think the obvious move is to put DiVincenzo in the starting lineup in place of Grimes. Have a more offensive guy, secondary ball handler. Keep quickly on the bench because I think that's where he belongs.
Yeah.
And then have Grimes as like an energy bench defender guy, or, you know, figure out where he needs to fit in because he's just not giving enough to the offense right now. And they need to think a little bit more offensively.
Yep. And I mean, we do. I think generally speaking, our offense has definitely been shaky, but tonight, Julius showed up for three quarters for a lot of
minus 21 though, Linda.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to watch plus minus, we can watch plus minus. Yeah. I mean, he was what, like 8 of 9 with 26 points at the half or something like that, and didn't turn the ball over. It got a little carried away in the third quarter when we were getting blown out. But I feel like if he can play like that, Brunson didn't have a great game either. I think if we got those two going, the offense isn't as much of a factor, but give it up 146 points. We had, 40 points in the third quarter? That's unacceptable. And for a Tibbs team that's known for hustle, for defense, that just can't happen against any team in the league. I don't think the Bucks were that good to be beating us that handily. So
you missed at one point in the first half, I think the Knicks were 1 for 6 from three, and the Bucks were 9 of 12.
Yep. We weren't closing out well. Lot of transition threes, and it's a team like the Bucks, you just can't let that happen. You're letting great 3-point shooters get uncontested looks. It's going to end up that way every time.
What do you think of the Knicks, Obas? Are they a threat?
No. The Knicks are not a threat. You know who the threat is? The 76ers are a threat.
They didn't make the tournament, though.
What the fuck is this? This tournament is bullshit. This tournament is bullshit. No one.
You're just mad the Nets didn't make it. No one tiebreaker.
I don't really care about the tiebreaking shit. Like, this whole thing has been full of, like, it's just been about extra money. Like, the real game comes in after February, right?
It's not about the extra money. It's that it's a regular season trophy, and it gets viewers watching regular season games, which everyone knows there's too many of. 82 is too many. But they said, okay, we'll at least make part of those 82 exciting in that first half.
You think 82 is a lot? 82 is not a lot.
82 is definitely too many.
Hell no. Well, you want to go back to 66? You want to go back to 66?
I think take 10 games off like they did during the pandemic. 72 games, no room to load manage. Every game needs a lot more. I think that's a good number. It's never going to go backwards because they want more money. They want more games. That's why they added this, so people watch the more games. But no, athletes need to be playing less than that. If you don't want to see so much ass going on, if you don't want them finding creative ways to load manage now that there's new penalties, yeah, take 10 games off. You don't have the ability to rest that night in Wednesday in Charlotte. Like, you don't.
Wouldn't they just still rest even with us?
I don't think so. It means every game means more.
But they rest. They end up resting the last five games anyway.
Yeah.
That's because they don't mean anything because there's too many games.
So taking 10 games don't make a difference.
You could still have a team be much better and clinch early. I get what you're saying. But
82 games, you're going to find new ways to get Kawhi and Paul George not playing. And that was, I mean,
they wasn't going to play anyway.
Do those guys even mean anything anyway? You got to think, like, the guys who are playing in the finals and in the conference finals, they're playing most of the years, the seasons anyway.
Hey, AD and LeBron are not playing most of those games.
I said the Lakers might be an outlier.
Okay.
Be in the finals, though.
He said Western Conference, the conference finals. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's been a little better this year. What do you think of the awards incentive? Because I think that gets you to 65 at least, and guys do care about that stuff because that's money.
It's probably the only thing they care about. Yeah,
the only key thing they care about.
That's why this tournament's working. These guys want the 500,000 Obas, and the jerseys, the courts are terrible, but the games have been great, and I think it's a good idea. I think it could become something.
LeBron said, "We need that 500K."
He's got to pay Bronny, man. He's got to pay Bronny.
USC doesn't have NIL. Come on.
His allowance.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think anyone expected it to be this popular. But I was even thinking from a Knicks perspective, maybe if we didn't make the in-season tournament, that's one less game against the Bucks we'd have to play. Maybe that's not how it works. But it's like,
would you have been pumped if they won it? Would you have been pumped if they won the title, the cup?
No. I mean, I would have been happy to win those games and climb in the standings and gel as a team, but I don't think it really means anything. I think for the guys, obviously, at the end of the bench, the coach, I don't know if all the coaches get it, but I think that's meaningful. But, I mean, it's about winning. And right now, I don't think we're in a spot to win. I was hoping Randle played well throughout the whole game. My big thing for the first half of the year is Julius Randle, get your trade value up. And these in-season tournaments doesn't really mean anything. Doesn't really do anything for team sort of, you know, winning. So it doesn't mean much to me.
Obas made a big proclamation today, and when he does that, we listen. Out of nowhere, right before this game started, he said the Bucks are going to the finals.
You went Miss Cleo on us.
What made you say that?
Here's the thing I realized.
Were you impressed by Lillard's interview while you were stretching?
Hell fucking no. Why would I be watching interviews? I was drinking my CBD soda. Back to what I was saying here. Let me tell you when I came to the proclamation.
Okay.
So watch this. So when I watched the Bucks play the Celtics, here's the thing that the Bucks have that they didn't have. They have somebody who they could depend on that last 5 minutes to score offensively. Dame is that guy, right? Dame is that guy that's going to make those difficult shots. He's going to rally up those teams come the fourth quarter, right? He's going to make those difficult shots, right? It's something that the Bucks didn't have. Now that Middleton is kind of, I don't want to say downgraded here, but like Middleton can still score.
He's okay tonight.
But like seeing Dame pick up the offense when I think it was the second quarter, the Knicks had tied it up and Dame had scored like 9 or 10 points easily by himself to stretch it to like seven. I think it was like 75.
Yeah, he hit three threes.
He hit three threes. Like, I gotta say, man, it's like when Giannis is not on the floor, the Bucks still got an offense going for them, and they still could do the inside outside game. You put Brooklyn defensively, they'll be a, like, defensively, they'll be like on some shit, but like offensively, the boys could score, man.
That's the problem. Don't you gotta be a great defense to win it all?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if they're down by nine, like, Dame, all Dame gotta do is shoot three threes. Like, the fuck? Like, who's that? Like, real talk.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all he's gotta do?
He's gotta shoot three threes.
That is the best way to come back.
They're really gonna miss Jrue Holiday come playoff time. I think that's someone who was a stabilizing force on defense and a facilitator. Dame's great. He'll be clutch, but I mean, despite blowing us out, you gave up 122 points to the Knicks tonight, which I don't think we score that much really ever.
And defense is so bad.
Yeah. Like, that's going to, when you're playing guys like the Celtics, the Pacers even, I mean, you could see the Pacers knocking the Bucks out of the playoffs.
Right.
So you got to keep your eye on that. I don't know if there's any upgrades they can make to the roster, but I mean, it's not pretty.
I don't think so. They've given up a lot of stuff.
Well, I've suggested that they have come off the bench, Malik Beasley come off the bench, and then they could Jay Crowder, have Jay Crowder start, that at least give a little defensive oomph into it. You know what I mean? But I don't know if he's hurt or not. Or they could freaking sign Wenyen Gabriel or some shit. That's his name.
He's in their G League.
Like, he should be getting some. They should bring him up and give that guy some minutes. He's, you know how he rolls. Zay, you know he's a good player. Come on now.
He rolls like a blown out tire.
Yeah, I'm the Celtics, I wouldn't be too concerned with the Bucks as they currently are. And I don't think
they made it close. Tobias's point though, they came back late. I don't know if it was a real comeback or just we're down 20 and we hit a bunch of shots, but they did make it close late in that game. It got to six, I'd say, before the buzzer. That's what he's talking about. I get it. There are dangerous offensively, but at the same time, I compared Giannis and Lillard to Embiid and Harden a year ago, which we thought was going to be the greatest thing ever, and just was fine. They never really played off each other.
We did not think that.
Oh, you guys all thought they were going to stink?
Any team that Harden is on, I assume will lose. he will leave it in flames.
When he was coming from Brooklyn, he was still known as a great player.
No, he was known as a quitter at that point, soon as he came. And pause. And so after the Brooklyn stint where he just gave up, I knew it was going to be – I didn't know that it would be a season every team would be a season each. But I did know that he was going to be a quitter for the rest of the way because he displayed that back-to-back. Yeah. He didn't even last a season in New York. So I knew that it was not going to work out. So Harden is still a great player. But he's inconsistent, he's hurt, and he's got no heart to play basketball at the professional level. He's not the entertainment spirit left.
Listen, you don't have to say all that.
He looks like basketball is a 9-to-5.
You don't have to say all that. Nate's not here. But I'm just saying the way their pick and roll was so awkward, I see the same thing with Lillard and Giannis. They're not really running pick and roll the way a big man and a guard should. They're just taking turns.
Giannis is – Dame is a – that's a weird way to say it, but he's a more all-around player than Giannis is on offense. Right. Giannis doesn't have the kind of bag that Dame Lillard does, so Dame Lillard runs that way. You can't have a guy who can't shoot be the way the offense flows, because defense is – even when you have Giannis on your team, defense will just – they'll just
collapse. Yeah, so he has to roll the basket. Yeah, and I don't know how much he wants to do that. Same with Embiid. Embiid just wants to spot up from two from the free throw line. Giannis wants to attack head on with the ball in his hands. So they got to play together.
Embiid has more on offense, clearly, than Giannis does. So they might be in a worse spot. Even in saying that, Embiid can take that two and make it. And make threes at a significant level. What does he shoot? Like 36-37% from three? Giannis still has the long, deep breath on free throws. Right. You know what I mean? So that's a little bit different. But yeah. I guess I get what you're saying, that it's about how they mesh together, and that doesn't look so well. But it's also early. He just got there.
Yeah.
So this Embiid and Harden were a year and a half, well, forever, for whatever games that Harden actually played. But that was a year and a half together. Dame and Giannis are 20 games in.
Yeah.
There's a long season ahead of them.
They look good tonight. So they're going to go on. They're going to play the Pacers on Thursday. And the winner of that's going to the Cup. How are the Lakers doing right now, Linda?
They're up 10 after the first.
Oh, all fuck. Right.
You bet Phoenix, and Obas.
What is that noise?
Fuck. You know, that's a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? That's fucking shit. Come on. KD needs to do some shit, man. I'm tired of this bum, man. I'm tired of him.
Did you bet the Suns?
You're tired of what?
I'm tired of this bullshit. Like, you know, the Suns can't get this shit.
Without expletives, describe what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the Suns should not be down by 10 against the Lakers.
They should. They're missing.
Oh, but I bet the Suns.
I'm here with you guys, but they're absolutely missing Beal, and I don't know if Booker and KD are playing. Maybe they are. I know Devin Booker is, but they're missing guys. They traded for more, and it seems like they're playing with less. So
Booker's playing tonight. Beal, of course, is not. KD is.
Yeah, so
there you go.
That's more than enough. And then you have that Nurkic guy. Like, that's more.
Oh,
than...
I knew you were gonna say that.
Come on,
he sucks.
You love Nurkic.
How does he suck? All he needs to do is get 12 and 11 rebounds.
This guy existed as a facilitating piece for a third party to make that trade work. He sucks. He's not a real center.
They wanted
him. That's why the Timberwolves, or not Timberwolves, the Trailblazers were ready to get him out.
Yeah.
He's hurt all the time.
Defense isn't good.
Defense sucks. His interior defense sucks.
This is the guy you're talking about. You're telling me. I'm telling you.
Well, the thing is, this team is supposed to be a highly offensive team. Like, what defense are they playing?
Offensive team, but they're still missing Bradley Beal already. KD is there sometimes. Devin Booker is there sometimes. This team hasn't had time to mesh, and their third guy is Nurkic.
Their third guy is Grayson Allen.
No, it's Eric Gordon. It's for everybody that's looking for it. It's Eric.
Where's Yuta?
Even worse.
Yuta's off the bench.
You know, Eric Gordon's not doing that bad this year, I will say. He torched us, too, when we played them.
Did you lose to the Suns?
We did.
Booker had, shot, right?
Game. Yeah.
Booker's an MVP candidate. We'll talk about MVP another day, though. That's our NBA talk for now. I want to talk a little football because it's been terrible. It is so bad. I don't even know what to say about the state of the league right now. I'm going to get Obas to share his opinion on it. First, shout out SeatGeek. There's a lot of concerts coming up. Travis Scott, Obas at TD Garden. You ready for that?
I'm not going to. His album sucks.
Well, if you wanted to, or if you want to go to the Nets games, or if you want to go to the in-season tournament, use the code DREAMERSPRO for $20 off your first order at SeatGeek. Great app. I've always used them to get my tickets. They got the scores, green, good, yellow, red, terrible deal. So go over there and use that code DREAMERSPRO right now. I don't want to go to the Pats
fiend,
game.
Fiend. You don't like that, Ova?
On SeatGeek, Lindo, you could get Pats tickets, the Deflatriots, for $10 last Sunday against the Chargers. Good tickets.
It wouldn't have been worth that. It wouldn't have been worth that. No, they're terrible. But you already know this, man. So if you're going to talk about this, then you gotta get more specific on. We already know they suck and it's bad and everyone wants Bill out. What do you want for the future of this team?
That's a good point.
Do you want the quarterback now? Do you want to build around and repair the defense in the places that they're weak at? They've been really good over the last couple of weeks. They're probably going to get Gonzalez back. Are you trying to plug any holes there? Are you trying to
fulfill
the roles at, you know, Ramondre has been depressing. Zeke hasn't been there at all. He's not the punching god anymore.
No.
Do you want receivers now that Juju is your wide receiver one? What are you looking for? Don't just say Bill sucks and the team sucks.
Yeah.
I think they need a new modern offense. So it worries me a little bit that Mayo's probably going to be the next coach because I don't think he's bringing that.
This is the guy you want. This is you chose.
It's not about who I want. It's about who it's going to be.
We asked you to choose somebody. You said anybody, and now you chose Mayo. So tell me about what OJ Mayo is about to bring to you.
Jerod Mayo is about to just do what Bill did. So that's the concern right now. Although Bill still needs to go because he's done such a bad job as GM. It's a stepping stone, I think. You bring in a guy who's been here.
What do you get in Bill's acolyte? Why don't you just keep Bill if that's what's going to be happening?
Because he's done such a bad job. And we have the number one pick potentially here. He cannot make that pick. Everyone keeps joking about it, but it's true. He's going to trade back and take a punt there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want a new so this is your show, man. Tell us who you would want to run this new offense.
I'd love a Mike McDaniel type. I would take a college coach on the come up. You know, at least for offense. I think Mayo can do a fine job as the head coach, but they need someone better on offense. And unfortunately, I think they're stuck with Bill O'Brien.
I'm saying, who do you like from college? What OC are you looking for? What?
Hello, he's a free agent. Get him on the Pats. I support black coaches. Dino Babers.
Black people, we do not claim Dino Babers. He's up for grabs. If the Asian community wants him, if the Latino community wants him, natives, aboriginals, take him.
Yeah, it's not going to be Dino. We'll get to Syracuse in a minute. But I don't know. I just think it's going to be a lot of the same, even with Bill gone here, which is worrisome.
I think that what you're not off that they need something new on offense, but I think that anything won't do, and it seems like you're at an anything point. When it really should be, we want this, or I want this.
So you would
keep
Bill.
I don't know what you're looking for. No, but I'm saying I don't know what you're looking for on offense. I don't know what kind of play style that you want. I don't know what you're looking for. You're just saying anything else will do. That's where our disagreement has been. It's not that Bill should get a lifetime contract. It's that, okay, when he leaves, you're just going to accept a revolving door of head coaches, coordinators. Like, I have no idea what you want the Patriots to look like.
It doesn't matter what I want because I think we know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be Bill and OJ Mayo.
No, it's going to be Mayo. It's going to be Bill O'Brien. Okay. And Belichick's going to be gone, which I don't know. It's probably time, Obas. This isn't what I want to talk about, but what do you think they should do?
What, the Pats?
Yeah.
I don't even know what direction y'all going to. The first thing, y'all let Jacoby Myers go.
Which
I don't
was
know
awful.
That was the dumbest shit ever, right? I don't know. I don't know why you get that. You got Juju. Okay, fine, whatever. But then it's like I don't know why. I don't know yet. You know, like
he stinks.
I don't know what the hell you're doing. Like I don't know either.
This is crazy. Who would have ever thought they'd look like this?
And you know,
I tried it.
Well,
yeah, hold on. Go, Dan.
You guys, how many championships have you won under Bill? I feel like there's this perspective from Pats fans. How could it ever be like this?
2-10
when it's like this every other team.
That's right.
Every other team has to do this.
You have to go through this. I think why it's so jarring is because you have to look at life after Bill. And you don't even know what direction that looks like. And it's like he's holding you hostage as a result. It's like you don't want to get rid of him, but you do want to get rid of him. But then you sit with the reality of what do we do now? And it's what every other team does is you bring in a new coaching staff. You let, you know, Robert Kraft goes out, interviews some guys, and you rebuild. You get a new identity. Maybe Bill's time is up. Maybe you keep letting him go out there. But, I mean, it's only been a few years since you won a Super Bowl. And
five.
And 5 years is nothing.
And to rebuild it. And for the Vikings, it's been 50.
For the Jets, it's about to go on to 53. Hello.
So every team has to go through a period where the team is unwatchable. Unless you're the 49ers or the Steelers, you got to go. And even the 49ers had a 4-win year, right? So that was 5 years ago. So every team.
You know why that's not valid, though? It's not like Tom Brady sat down in 2019 and said, I retire. See ya. They said.
Tom Brady should be still playing quarterback for the Patriots today in your world.
He should have up until 2 years ago.
So that we'd still be here.
Well, hold on, though.
Maybe,
hold
but
on.
You might have had another playoff run or two.
Well, hold on, though. They, you know what? The Pats have gone. The reason why the Pats are in this position is that they fucked up on a lot of picks during their drafting. They could have had Lamar Jackson, but they, guess what? They went after Sony Michel. Like, where the fuck is he? Where's he?
He's retired.
Okay, good. So now look at that. Look at that. Now y'all went after, y'all was going in Dunkin' Donuts saying zap attack, all over Massachusetts. And guess what? Zap, the first play he gets the interception. That's y'all fault. That's y'all fault. I don't think Bill should get fired, to be honest with you. And if anything, this
Bill made those picks.
I don't know about that.
That is honestly a fireable offense, though. Sonny Michel over Lamar Jackson. That's pretty.
And then guess what else they did? N'Keal Harry over AJ Brown, as AJ Brown was begging to be a Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
So they drafted terribly.
You can't trust them. Maybe you can't trust them to make these picks. But if you don't, and you bring in someone else, he has to build an entire new Patriots identity. And even if it's one of Bill's understudies, you can't keep doing things like how Bill has done things.
No.
And if he goes out, makes a bad pick at number two or three, they're going to want him out of the building. He doesn't have the history that Bill has of winning, whatever that coach may be. So you make a bad pick, it's a flop. In 3 years, you might be looking for a coach again. And you're going to start that cycle. So I think you have to be very careful about
everything.
How you navigate
that? We've been told, Bobby, this the revolving door is coming as soon as Bill is gone.
Everything you guys are saying is valid. Circle. Everything you're saying is valid, but none of it is a reason you would say, "All right, let's keep Bill." Because look at what it's like now.
It's not even saying. I'm not even telling you you have to keep Bill. I don't think you do, but I'm just saying you have to be prepared that this season won't be the outlier once you just get a new coach.
I get it.
There's going to be,
I'm not saying it's going to be
several rebuilding steps.
I just don't know if Pats fans have accepted that. That's my issue. And I think although the Jets have had this revolving door, the Giants have experienced it. I think the Pats in particular are very used to success. They're fans. And I don't think any other coach will get that kind of grace to have seasons like Bill is having. And it might get Bill fired even, but
if you have a season like this, you should be fired.
Well, you can look at it a couple ways. One, you don't have a quarterback. I think if you get a serviceable quarterback next year, two or three, it's hard to have seasons like this. I mean, the Panthers, they drafted Bryce Young. I still think the jury's out on him. I don't think he's necessarily bad, but it's about the team you build around him. And this goes back to the case I made, and you may not like this, whether it's Bill or someone else, to trade back. And I say this because there's so many holes on the Pats roster. And I feel like you go get a quarterback, you could have a Bryce Young situation where I don't think Bryce Young is that bad, but his team is awful, top to bottom. And coaching is awful. And you look at the Pats after Bill, that could be the same case. And you don't play in the Jets aren't great, but you figure they'll turn it around. They don't have as many holes to fill. Miami's Miami. Buffalo will get it turned around. You don't want to be the team that gets beat up on every year. And I think that's where you're headed. If you don't really build out your roster.
If the Jets can win week 18.
If the Jets win versus the Patriots this year, Bill is fired.
They were talking about it on the radio. If
the Jets win, Bill is fired.
If the Pats lose in Gillette Stadium in front of zero fans to the Jets, who Bill started his career coaching for,
that would be a dagger.
Before giving up.
That'd be a dagger.
To boos. They'd boo him off the field.
All four fans. It'll be just you there.
Yeah. Thanks to SeatGeek. But I didn't want to talk about Pats. I want to talk about these backup quarterbacks because we got 12 incredible names potentially starting games this weekend, including Bailey Zappe. The Jets are going back to your guy, Zach Obus, so I don't think they count. Well, no, he is a backup, right? Because Rodgers was a starter.
Yes.
So we do have 12 backup quarterbacks in action this weekend, including Jake Browning, who Lindo's a big fan of. And with all these backup quarterbacks starting, we felt like making a list of the best backups in the league, because this is the league now. You're just getting backup quarterbacks. You're not seeing the best. You're not seeing the stars. You're seeing the Tim Boyles and the Jake Brownings and the Bailey Zappes. So, Lindo, who is the best backup quarterback in the league?
I'm about to say it, but I do just want to recognize that as we talk about dysfunctional organizations, having a quarterback say, "I don't want to start on a team," like Zach Wilson, is unheard
what
of.
What is wrong with him, Obas?
At any level of football.
Hey, go easy on him. But what's wrong with him?
Obas, go easy on him because he's in the chat.
Yeah, first of all, he's from Jersey, right? That was your worst mistake. Okay. Right, you don't draft anybody from.
So there's two Jersey quarterbacks in New York right now.
That's right. And the thing with Zach, Wilson is like, I feel as though he has the Sam Darnold side effect. Like he thinks that he's hot shit. He got what? I think Zach Wilson got drafted what, number two? He got drafted number two.
Yeah.
Number two, I think. The dude just overconfident. He doesn't know how to gel with the team. The kid just I don't know. There's something mentally wrong with the kid, right? it's not clicking there. It's just like the kid can throw the ball. He just makes poor decisions.
I would hope so. He's a professional quarterback.
Right? I mean, look at Joe Flacco. He can't really throw.
You should have signed Flacco.
Hell no. I don't want Flacco.
As far as where he's on the rankings though, where are you putting Zach?
He's not in the top 10. The number one is Gardner Minshew.
Okay. Amen. Talk that, yo.
How did he end up on the Colts?
The Colts, he walked, I think, actually. No, but I have no idea.
Because someone should have scooped him up. The Pats should have scooped him up.
The Colts scooped him up. That's the someone. Yeah. They're 7-5. They're one game off leading the division with a backup quarterback, having just dropped Shaq Leonard, with Jonathan Taylor hurt, with Zach Moss not producing, with Gardner Minshew, they're one game off. And I understand the AFC South is a joke, but they're 7-5 with a backup.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he didn't win all those games, but he might be on game. This might be win 5 for him. Something like that, maybe even 6, because in some of those early Anthony Richardson games, he was coming into the games. So he's responsible for a lot of these wins. So as much as it pains me, it's him. He's number one.
Yeah.
Yep. Number two.
Yep. Number two.
I don't want to say because you're just gonna say you had to drop him.
I think Jake Browning is legit.
He only had one game. He's up there, but he only had one game. He played two games.
Can only do it based off this week.
He played two games. The first one wasn't good. This one was great.
Based on this week, you got to put him up there. And I do understand. Like,
I thought it was terrible.
I say this based on what Burrow had to deal with, the pocket collapsing, receivers dropping balls, all of that. Browning went out there. He was 32 of 37 and won them that game.
He balled.
And I think that's a big time game against a potential contender in the Jaguars. I mean, that's impressive.
Jaguars they controlled their destiny to the one seed before this game. Now it's back up for grabs. So yeah, a real team.
Yeah, he's in that mix. I don't think I'm going to put CJ Beathard in there off one drive.
Would we put Tommy DeVito up there? Two wins as the third stringer.
He's number one in the third string.
Let alone win games.
I put him up there, and I think that's because
he's in the top 10.
I think he's in the top 5.
Won two games as the third string.
Won two games. That's
I'll probably put Andy Dalton in front of him.
Zachy won two games last year.
Yeah. But I think winning those two games the way he did, he definitely was a factor. He didn't turn the ball over. Game manager. Had a couple touchdowns. And I think the reason I think he's in the top 5, and I'll lock him in at number 3 even, is in this week, the Giants, with Tyrod Taylor activated, had started DeVito over him. And that tells you a lot about the trust that he's built in the locker room, about how they feel about his skills going forward, especially in comparison to Tyrod Taylor, who people might have thought was the best backup in the league. And for him to come out, get those two wins, be starting over Tyrod this year. I think that says a lot about DeVito. This will be a real test for him this week, a real important game, and I think we'll see.
Is he better than Tyrod?
Backup job, I think, after this week.
Is he better than Tyrod?
I think this week will tell you. We'll give you that answer.
Yeah.
Because I had Tyrod on there. I like him. I don't know. We haven't seen enough of DeVito for me to feel good about him, especially as a third stringer.
I'm putting Tyrod at number 4 though.
You know who has to be on there, Obas?
Who, Joe Flacco?
I had Joe Flacco.
Oh, God.
But no, I was going.
He's already played. He's already played, and it wasn't good.
It was decent.
I mean, he scored 2 touchdowns.
We're talking about, you're asking who are the best backups out there right now. He's not in that.
He's got to be on the list.
What about Jameis Winston?
He is on the list.
He's bad.
Yeah, but he's on that list. I don't think he's that much worse than Gardner Minshew.
You know Jameis is going to throw picks. That's why he's a backup.
No, but here's the thing. I wanted Jameis to go to the Jets when Aaron Rodgers went down.
Hello?
And they just said, fuck it. That would have been something. You know he's going to throw picks, but you know he's going to throw.
Right.
Like old school quarterback. You know, you go and look up what Fran Tarkenton's numbers look like and Roger Staubach. they threw a lot of picks, but they threw it down the field. You're getting that with Jameis. You're getting old school football.
It's
really Josh Dobbs is number two. He had a terrible game. Terrible game.
The guy couldn't even.
Two of those picks were clear tips. He threw one into Addison's hands, uncovered, and it somehow lands in the hands of the corner. Like, no. He has 2,400 yards this year.
What
did
he go with
the
Cardinals
this year?
He was what, 2-9?
Did he win two? I thought he only won one. I think Kyler won one of those.
I think he won one.
This guy shows up in the middle of the week for the Vikings, gets a win out of it. Last week, it was an ugly game. It was terrible. But the Bears' defense was solid. Two of those picks were disasters, right. Not his fault. And before that, 2,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, getting touchdowns with his feet too. Like, come on. It's him.
Dubs is good, man. I like Dubs. I'm a big advocate of Dubs. He could throw the ball, athletic. And I was, again, y'all would have said I'm crazy, but I wanted him to stay with the Cardinals, man. Him and Brown connected very well. I don't know what this Vikings team, like, how he's connecting.
He was so bad last week.
Two of those picks were clearly not his fault. Four looks bad. Two of those were bad.
One thing that I want to see coming out of this year with all the backups is how many more teams will start drafting guys in the late round just to be a backup quarterback. Who are evaluating guys. Not we want him to sit behind someone to develop and potentially be a starter, but
you have to have
this
one.
Guy is a backup. And how many guys coming out of college might model their game after being a game manager? You look like a guy like Sam Hartman. He was at Wake Forest, Notre Dame. He looks like a prototypical backup. And there's a lot of guys now that they have a chance to make something, make a career. Guy like Tommy DeVito. Again, I think he performs well this week. He might be a journeyman in the league. He might have his next 15 years as a backup. And it'll be very interesting to see how that changes people's draft strategies.
I think there's three obvious names that got to be on here. Tyler Huntley.
No.
No?
You said it had to be based off last week.
If he came in this week, I would feel great about him.
How did you totally change what you just said? You said it was based off last week.
He didn't have to play last week. Lamar,
I still think Tyler Huntley is in the top 15, I would say.
Not the top 10?
I don't think so.
Huntley or, to go to Windows list, Bagent.
Tyson Bagent, 2 wins. As a D2 quarterback from West Virginia.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like Bagent just – I don't think those wins were very impressive, one. Two, I mean
– some guys get zero.
He just doesn't look like a real quarterback. I don't know. Like something about him.
All right, best break the ties. Huntley in the top 10?
No.
Okay, so Bagent it is.
What about Aiden O'Connell?
Aiden O'Connell, I don't have. I have Cooper Rush.
Definitely Aiden O'Connell over Cooper Rush.
What? Yeah. Cooper Rush was the talk.
Your rule was, did they play last week? He didn't play last week.
He didn't have to. But if Dak went down, you would feel great about Cooper Rush winning again.
I would not. I think Dak's carrying the Cowboys right now. I don't think Cooper Rush can replicate that.
Didn't Cooper Rush come in last year and carry them for weeks?
But this season, Dak is not throwing picks. He's at like 24 touchdowns, 3,300 yards.
It's not about
about who's closest to their starter. It's about who can be the best.
Would you feel good? Well, yeah. They're feeling so good because Dak is so good right now. Take that away, I don't know.
Right.
Rush.
I think they won, what, five?
Rush or Aiden O'Connell, Obes?
Aiden O'Connell.
What the hell? You guys are all recency biased.
You said it was last week.
I did not come up with any criteria. I said the top 10 backups in the league.
You said last week.
Well, I'll say Cooper Rush over O'Connell.
So that gives it to O'Connell with Lindo, I guess.
Is Teddy Bridgewater in the league still? He could be a good backup for Jared Goff. Come on.
I love Teddy Bridgewater. He's probably just outside of the top 10, though.
Oh, boo.
The last one Lindo had was Will Levis, who probably deserves to be in there, but I'll throw one more out to compete with them. Mike White.
I'm going with Will Levis.
I'm going with Will Levis. Yeah.
Come on, Obas.
Will Levis could be a starter. Yeah,
if Mike White was on the Jets, he would have them in the playoffs.
And then you're doing ifs now when we've watched ifs. Will Levis. We've seen Will Levis. He's not great.
Fair enough. So our top 10 backups, in case you're still here, Minshew, Dobbs, Levis, DeVito, O'Connell, Browning, Bagent, Huntley is in there, right? Flacco, Winston.
That's a solid list.
Good enough.
Oh, hold on. Taysom Hill. There we go.
No.
Let me tell you why.
He's a quarterback like Villar is a quarterback for Syracuse.
Let me tell you something. Taysom Hill is a – they could run a Wildcat. They could run a Wishbone. And they could even run a
they
spread
could
off.
They run whatever, and they're going to lose all those games.
He should be the third string top 10 with DeVito. The only other name I'll throw out there is Andy Dalton, who I still like, but isn't top 10 probably. Okay. All right, let's real quick shout out to HelloFresh. HelloFresh right now throwing in free breakfast with every order. Love them. Been using them, cooking up burgers, ground pork, stir fry, bunch of different seasonal recipes that are great for this time of year. You can customize when it comes, how often it comes. Dietary restrictions, all that. And right now they're throwing in free breakfast for life every time you order at HelloFresh.com/CLNSfree. Let's talk about our guy, Fran Brown, who has me excited. Syracuse found a new coach. He's coming in with a ton of confidence. He's coming in bringing recruits. And he's bringing in powerful assistant coaches. It reminds me of, we didn't get to talk about this, Ime Udoka, the former Celtics coach, coming in, bringing in a bunch of great assistants. I guess the big difference is that it wasn't a great team that Fran Brown's walking into, but Dan,
and he hasn't
you go
cheated
first.
On the Neil Long either.
Yes, there's off-court stuff too, but it reminds me of when Ime came to the Celtics, brimming with confidence, saying the way he was going to change, being involved. Active with assistant coaches, recruits, free agents in Ime's case. And I like Fran Brown, even though he's in a tough position right now to change this program after years of Dino Babers. Dan, I'll let you go since you got to go here.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly, not to quote Stephen A, quoting Cat Williams, but this is exactly what I've been waiting for.
Yes.
I sat and defended Dino the first few years, but as you all know, the past year, Dino's proven. Like, he just couldn't coach, in my opinion. But the whole, we never tapped into the transfer portal. We'll look into that. Or, we're dealt a bad hand of cards with NIL. Maybe it'll work out. That's not
an excuse. You don't want to spike on fourth down.
I'm not even talking about his coaching, spiking on fourth down, kicking it from 48 yards when you need two scores. Those things is enough to get fired. But you add in just the lack of recruiting ability. I mean, the one guy, his prized possession in Tommy DeVito, he ran out of town, and that guy's now a starting NFL quarterback. I know this isn't about Dino Babers. I don't want to go down that path. I'm just saying I'm very excited at this hire. The one thing is he hasn't been a head football coach before. And this is a Power Five program here. And he's been at Georgia before. He was at Rutgers before. But he does have to coach. And that's the one thing I realized Dino was not great at. But with the right talent, I feel like Fran Brown, with proper assistance,
that's all that matters, right? The talent.
I mean, that's what you think. But there were games we could have won without the talent if we had a proper head coach. And I know there's all this excitement about recruiting. But the truth is, we got to win games. We got to have a new game plan. We're going to be running a whole different offense, a whole different defense. What does that look like? How do we recruit for that? And he's got to figure all that out, and also figure it out schematically as well as recruiting wise. The one thing I will say, we're going to get those guys from Jersey. We're not losing recruits to
Rutgers. We already are.
We're not losing recruits to Boston College anymore. We're not doing that anymore. And that's a big deal. I mean, we should be the best football program in the Northeast, period. And I think with Fran Brown, I think that's where we're headed.
As you were saying, they got to figure out the recruiting. They're already starting. I mean, it's like, it's really like being in a dream where, you know, a four-star at Syracuse, one of them is coveted. And we get a guy out of Georgia. We get a guy from Texas A&M. We get a guy from Colorado in a matter of days, right? Yeah. In a week. And already we have 5 4-stars visiting. Some of them are committed right now. We have a Purdue guy committed. He's saying, actually, let me go see Syracuse. We got a guy committed to Texas A&M. He's saying, hold on, let me go see Syracuse. Out of nowhere, in a week. So that part looks like, at least for now, we can work with that. What it's going to be is we have a guy coming in, a new quarterback coming in from Georgia, right? We have him. We've got the recruits. It is what you're saying. What does this team look like? Because we can't have another position player running in at quarterback this year. You know what I mean? Or next year, rather. So
maybe
how will
for
that
one
work
more
out?
Game for old time's sake in the bowl game.
In the bowl at Boca Raton. We'll see you there. Valari will be running the Wildcat for 4 quarters. No, but it's crazy to see Syracuse in the time that we've been there, that there would be an outpouring of 4-stars just out of nowhere saying, we're ready. You check Twitter, everybody's excited. All these hermits who were like, they haven't been watching since Paul Pasqualoni was taking us to the Fiesta Bowl. You know what I mean? They haven't
seen.
And
you got guys
Donovan
in Jersey. You got guys in Texas who are like, oh, shit, they went and got him.
And all of a sudden, now you're seeing NIL dinners immediately. People saying, we need to bring a fund
together. Are we giving money?
I will. With someone
I need to see some
funds.
Wins. Before I start spending my hard-earned dollars.
Dan and Obis aren't doing it until the hype train gets going.
Yeah. I've already seen the post.
We saw what happened with Colorado. I need to see some win. I need to see 6 wins in the first 8 games next year, and then I'll start donating some money. I don't want
a light schedule next year.
I know. I don't want a 6-6. I want an 8-win team, and then you'll start getting my money.
Then you start getting more money, yeah.
$10.99 a month. They already posted it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a meet and greet with the team. You get some prizes, whatever.
I want
else.
A meet and greet with Fran.
And one last thing before I go. I don't know how involved Dino was in the community, but I never saw him out there. I never saw him really doing anything on the Syracuse campus.
That's normally not a Syracuse thing to do.
And this guy, Fran Brown, he's from Camden, New Jersey. He's a Northeast guy. He wants to be here. He wants to be in the Northeast, and he cares about the community. That's a big part. He wants to raise his daughter in Syracuse. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to come out and commit to that. And I think that's something that we haven't had. Even past coaches have not come out. It's a job for them. It's a step over. And I feel like someone like Fran Brown is someone you can invest in. And when he says he wants our time, he wants our attention before he wants our money, I mean, that's really important. And we need a guy like that. You look at Syracuse's admin, I know, from Kent to Jim Boeheim, those guys are
wild hack.
They're just there. They're figureheads. They're caring about their domain. And I think it's really impressive to see a guy like Fran who could turn around the football program, but also turn around the school. And maybe I'll be a proud Syracuse alum after that. So
and not only that, brings in his boy, calls up his boy who had a huge offer, number one most paid position coach in America, Elijah Robinson, knew him from Jersey, said, I'm starting something new in upstate New York. Are you coming? And Elijah said, I'm coming, and I'm bringing some of my players with me.
I know you hate my comparisons, Lindo, but Ime Udoka coming in day one, saying all the right things.
We'll see. Keep Neil Long away from Syracuse.
I'm not talking about the controversy. I'm just talking about what happened to the team. They go out, they get Will Hardy from the Spurs. They go get Damon Stoudemire. They go get, Joe Mazzulla was already there, but just this power-packed coaching staff. And then they hit the ground running. Again, though, you needed talent there to begin with, so hopefully they're going to have talent. Are you excited, Obas?
I mean, it's the first year, right? I think what Dan said was a good point. Get the wins first, then we can start talking about the future. Like, it's a new system that's coming on offensively, defensively. I'm excited. I think what Dan said is a good point. Like, you got to get a lot of these Jersey kids, right? The Don Boscos, the Paramus kids, right? You're missing a lot of these recruits. In the New York, I just went to see CHSAA. Cardinal Hayes just won the state championship. Like, you're not being local. So I'm more excited to see the wins before the wins first, and also the recruitment process. It's a step in the right direction.
He was the right choice. I don't think there's any doubt about that. What is the schedule next year? Lynn knows it out.
Yes.
They have 2024. I'm sure it's a lot of them.
Okay. It's Ohio Army, UConn, Holy Cross. And then at home, they have Miami, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Stanford. And away is BC, Pitt, Cal, NC State.
Yeah, those are all winnable.
Yeah.
Like, the only serious, serious teams there are going to be Cal, Miami, Virginia Tech. Everywhere else, I'm saying they better go out there, and if they can't win, it better be close. It better be right there.
I want to throw this in too quick before we get out of here. Our old friend Ime got into it with your Lakers, Lindo. LeBron going at him. Ime gets ejected. LeBron gets a T. This wasn't a tournament game, but another moment of tension in the NBA early this year.
I think it's funny. One, I do like that someone would tell LeBron to his face, even with expletives, you know, stop being soft. I do like that. But, you know, you call LeBron certain words and he will say, you can't call me that. But it was clearly that LeBron knew he was on a tech already and said, oh, I can get this guy. I can get him out of here. Right. And made sure that conversation, made sure to keep engaging with it right with the ref right there. Let Ime just run his mouth off and say, ref said, okay, you're out of here. LeBron knew what he was doing. He abandoned his team in the middle of a game, and the Rockets lose. So he gets the headlines. He'll be big on Fox News and Outkick this week, and they'll just have to remember, oh, our coach decided to get in a screaming match with LeBron in the middle of the game. So it's funny. It'll have headlines. I'm glad someone, you know, let LeBron know, hey, you're not too big for me to talk to you. You know what I mean? Pause. But at the end of the day, LeBron knew, yeah, let me get him out of here. He's not going to call me that and stay on the court. Let me get him out.
Right. Here's Ime after the game talking about it.
What happened on the double touch?
We had some conversation, and they didn't like what they heard, the refs.
Was the conversation with the officials of JT Orr, or was it LeBron and you?
Me and the player, yes.
I love it, Obas. There are times I miss him, as you know, he deserved the punishment and the suspension and all that, but I'm glad he's getting a fresh start there in Houston. I hope he makes the most of it. And they're off to a good start so far. This game excluded.
This was you earlier this season. I told you, I'm like, listen, man, the Rockets is a good, I don't think the Rockets is gonna be decent.
I don't know about their players.
What position are they in? Aren't they in the AC right now?
They're winning.
And you got Fred VanVleet. He is on. He's what, their number one option for them? Like
Jalen Green, probably.
Jalen Green. So it's like you have a veteran like
Dylan Brooks is shooting well,
right? So it's like they're not a bad
Sengun. I like what they're doing.
They're not a bad team, man. They're not a bad team.
Just get a play-in berth this year. I think that's a good starting point for them. And Ime as well there. You know, I think that you got a good guy in him to be a defensive emphasis because, man, did their defense stink under Steven Silas the last couple of years. So, fun moment for you, mate. Window, thanks for joining us. Dan Scott had a bounce. Anthony Obas dropping in. Always great to see you. You can check him out at, what is it, Anthony underscore Obas 44?
Yeah. Don't say King Obas 44. That Obas was dead. But, yes.
And our guy Windows said, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow.
6-3. Here we come.
Here we go, baby.
Back tomorrow with a little practice coverage. Celtics back in town after their loss. They're going to play the Knicks on Friday, as we talked about earlier. Knicks lost tonight. So that's their second game of this in-season slate here against the Knicks. Bucks versus Pacers coming up in the in-season tournament. And Suns still up, Linda?
No, Suns are down.
Oh, okay.
Lakers were up.
So Lakers
up, 12, something like that.
Lakers, Pelicans,
look,
maybe?
I'm here with you. I'm on TV talking like it's just you and me, Bobby. You know what I'm saying? Lakers are up.
Lakers, Pelicans, maybe? That's a fun one, too, on the other side. We'll see how this in-season tournament pans out. I wish I was there, but appreciate you guys stopping by, watching here. Subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, audio, all the rest. Anywhere you get your podcast, Dome Theory is. This is a group chat edition of our show with all our Syracuse guys. We'll talk to you soon.